Amen. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, we have the shadow, and in the New Testament, we have the substance. How many of you believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. The shadow in the Old Testament, hallelujah, is not what we want to follow, but the substance in the New Testament. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Exodus chapter 12. And this is the shadow of the Lord's table, the Passover instituted. Are you there? Amen. Then the first verse. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The Lord changed the whole Jewish calendar when the Passover was instituted. When the blood of the Lamb was sprinkled, the Lord said, from now on, this shall be the beginning of your years. Amen. What is God saying? As long as you come before the blood of the Lamb, you have a fresh beginning. It doesn't matter what kind of past you have, but you have a fresh beginning as any time as you come into the presence of God before Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't hold on to your past when God has forgotten and forgiven you, but run forward and run the race for which He has set before you. Amen. Now a highlight that I want to highlight is this. A short message. The third verse. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Underline that word, a lamb. Amen. The fourth verse, and if the household is too small for the lamb, remember that's wordage, what the Holy Spirit has written. If the household is too small for the lamb is never too small for the household, but if the household is too small for the lamb, amen. Hallelujah. If the household is too small for the lamb, underline the word the lamb. So we have a lamb, we have the lamb. Let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Amen. And the fifth verse, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Amen. Hallelujah. In the third verse, we have a lamb. In the fourth verse, we have the lamb. We have a Jesus for some people. He's just a person. Amen. But for some people, they know He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the truth, the light, the only way of our salvation, the door. Amen. But if you have to have your salvation, He should become your lamb. Amen. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That is why Christianity, remember, is always a personal walk with Jesus. Amen. It is not knowing about someone. It is not even knowing the person. But it is having a relationship with your person. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an intimate one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. Salvation is personal. Amen. Hallelujah. Now here, listen to this word. This is what I want to highlight. The seventh verse. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. A lamb. Amen. A lamb. A lamb without a blemish. Then it says, you shall have the lamb slain. So there's a slain lamb. Amen. But the eighth verse that we read, it's a lamb roasted in fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have a lamb. You look to Jesus. Without blemish, without spot, no blame could be found on him. Even the people who killed him could not find a fault with him. Pilate said, I find no wrong with him. Judas said, I have the blood of an innocent man on my hands. The very one who denied the Lord or betrayed the Lord. Nobody could find a fault in the Lord. Amen. He's a lamb without blemish. And he was slain for you. He who knew no sin became sin, that in him we might have the righteousness of God. Amen. He's a lamb without blemish. You watch, you read through the Gospels. You watch through the Gospels. You allow the Holy Spirit to take you through the Gospels. You look to the lifestyle of Jesus. If you want to imitate anyone, imitate Jesus. If you want to learn from anyone, learn from Jesus. Look at the way he dealt with people. Look at the way he dealt with situations. Look at the way he handled problems. Look at the way he spoke faith. Look at his life and learn from him. He is there for you. But then remember, he was slain for you. Amen. And only if he's become a personal savior for you, then only will you be able to enjoy him here. In the table that is prepared here today. Amen. And roasted. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the scriptures, you know, in the book of Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 19 says, I shall change your fasting into feast. Fasting into feast. Fast into feast. Amen. Not go fast into feast. But fasting into feasting. Hallelujah. Fast into feast. Even if you are fasting, then there is a time for you to feast. Amen. The difference between fast and feast is an E. You understand that? An E comes in the fast is feast. And what is that E? If you have been fasting, when do you know you should stop your fasting and begin to enjoy and begin to feast? When an E comes. What is an E? When you've been enlightened once again. Amen. Then it comes time and again to dull your minds from your calling, from your work, worthy of the Lord. It comes to dull your minds from the truth. And suddenly when you're fasting and praying, suddenly the Spirit of God enlightens you once again. Suddenly you go, oh my God, I'm a child of God. I can't do the things that I've been doing. I need to change. Amen. Enlightenment. But E stands for a word called emancipation. You know what that means? Deliverance. Deliverance. While you're fasting, suddenly you find that the Lord has set you free. Amen. When you've been fasting and praying, how many of you experienced that? I felt a tremendous release of God's glory coming upon people here. How many of you felt a divine release from the hand of the Lord? Amen. It's a release and it's time to feast now. We're feasting at the Lord's table today. Hallelujah. Not chicken biryani. Amen. We have come with reverence before the Lord's table. Amen. But he stands for enjoying the Lord. Once again, you begin to enjoy the Lord. See, sometimes it happens that you've been going through life and you walk with God and you've lost sight of God. You don't enjoy Him the way you used to enjoy Him before. That happens to everyone. It's not, God is not strange when you go through that. But don't stay in there. That's the time you need to humble your soul, take a fast, sit before the presence of God and say, Lord, I want this fast to be turning into a feast. And here at your feet, Lord, enlighten me once again. Deliver me once again. I want to enjoy you. The deliverance is not for you to enjoy yourself, but to enjoy the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So here it says, a roasted lamb. There is a lamb to be watched and looked at, to be gazed upon. That is Jesus. Amen. And that's why some of you need to get back to the Gospels. Get back to the Gospels. Look through the life of Jesus. Read it through again till you taste it, till you taste it. And there's a lamb that is slain for your sins 2,000 years ago. Look at him. I know that you're forgiven. I know that you're healed. You're set free. Amen. Look at the finished work on the cross. Then there is the lamb that is roasted. When you know that you're saved, that you're forgiven, you come before the stage. When you said, I'm going to obey the law, step out and walk through the waters of baptism. Allow my life to be holy unto God. Be separated from the world and belong to the Lord. That's the time you come into the stable to enjoy the presence of God in your lives. Amen. And believe that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's get back to Exodus. The 12th chapter. I want to give you some quick points here. The 12th chapter. The lamb was to be roasted in fire with unleavened bread. Now, when you come before the table, there should be unleavened bread. Amen. Hallelujah. The other day I was sitting with someone and they said, in the pulpit. പുതിയ നിയമത്തിൽ പുളിപ്പില്ലാത്തപ്പോൾ എന്തിനെ സൂചിപ്പിക്കുന്നു? What is unleavened bread in the New Testament? അടുത്ത വീട്ടിൽ അപ്പം വേണം പോലെ തന്നെ. What implies the unleavened bread in the New Testament? Hallelujah, my brother. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, leaven is implied as sin. Leaven is sin. Are you with me? So when you come to this day of the unleavened bread, what you're saying is, I am going to get every sin out of my life. നേരെ പൂർവ്വം ആവിന്റെ ജീവിതം പുറത്താക്കാൻ പോവുക, കർത്താവിനെ ഒന്നുകൂടെ നോക്കാൻ പോവുക. അതാ കുളിപ്പില്ലാത്ത മാവിന്റെ പുതിയ നിയമത്തിലെ സബ്സ്റ്റൻസ്. Some of you have received them. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy.
Make me a humble preacher, Lord, this morning.
So we have the unleavened bread. When you come before the table, there should not be any leaven in your lives. Amen. When you come for brand new day, even if you're sinner, you still put up with that. Are you with me? When you come before the Lord's table, you should judge yourself before you partake. എന്റെ ഹൃദയം കർത്താവിൽ ഏൽപ്പിച്ചു വിശുദ്ധമായിട്ട് ഏൽപ്പിച്ചിട്ട് മാത്രമേ ഈ മേശ when the battle was going on, David gets up, he goes through the terrace of his palace, the roof of his palace, and is looking where he should not look, and he sees a woman dead. Wow. His eyes are created for the Lord. Amen. Amen. നിന്റെ കണ്ണ് കർത്താവിന് വേണ്ടിയുള്ളതാ, നോക്കണ്ട ആളുടെ കണ്ണ് നോക്കാൻ പോയത് രാജാവായാലും ായാലും ശിഷ്യനായാലും ആരായാലും. When David went and looked, he sees Bathsheba, he gets her, spends the time with her, then hides his sin. He doesn't say to anyone, not a soul knows it. Bathsheba goes back home. He realizes she is pregnant. Says, get the husband from the battlefield, Uriah. Gets him drunk. Asks him to go and sleep with his wife. But even in the drunkenness, Uriah is more sober than David. He says, when the Ark of the Covenant is out there, in that battlefield, how can I go and enjoy myself? Even in his drunkenness, he's more sober than David. And he refuses to go into his wife. David gets him killed. You understand that? Huh? David gets him killed. One son leading to next. Everything seems to be forgotten. But what happens? Are you still here? What happens?
his son Absalom, the one whom he loves, rises up against him.
And his son Absalom rises up against him
and is getting, listen to this, there are some of you going to get a little bit here now.
Absalom rises up against him and he's taking the counsel of a person to fight his father David.
In 2 Samuel 15, oh, hallelujah.
The 12th verse. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Ahithophel, heard a name for David's counselor. Absalom is sending for this man called Ahithophel. Absalom and Ahithophel are scheming on how to finish off David. But there's something that you need to realize from the word. See, maybe you might have read through it without understanding who this Ahithophel is. When you study the scripture in 2 Samuel 24, the last couple of scriptures, you find this man Ahithophel is the grandfather of Bathsheba. Ahithophel is saying to Absalom, you know what you should do? Absalom, to finish up David, you should go up your rooftop.
Where was David when he looked at Bathsheba?
You should go up the rooftop and sleep with your father's concubines. Sin, if it is not dealt with, will creep into generation after generation. The very bondage that you have been struggling in, you will see your children struggling in it. Then you will see your grandchildren struggling in it. But let me tell you, when you come before the Lord's table, there is a deliverance not only for you, but for your descendants. The very curse of sin becomes broken under the blood of the Lamb. And that is why we feast in the presence of God.
Amen. Did you hear that?
Amen.
There are some of you who are going through recurring sins that have been there through the generations. But let me tell you, if you understand the feast of the unleavened bread, if you understand there is a holiness unto God, and come before this table with due reverence looking to the Lord, let me tell you, that very curse becomes broken under the blood of the Lamb. Your descendants don't have to go through it. They can walk under a blessing because of the hand of God and because of the blood of the Lamb that was sprinkled for you on Calvary's cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? The wages of sin is death, but eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is where you realize one man has died for all, that he who lives should no longer live for himself, but for the one who has died for him and risen again from the dead. I've been there, I'm put in. And I strongly believe today, while we feast of the Lord's table in due reverence and in prayer and in worship, many of the curses that have been plaguing your family tree, that have been plaguing your lives, shall be broken under the blood of the Lamb, and you will know you are free forever. He whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. The greatest curse is the curse of sin and bondage. I don't want to be a slave, you don't want to be a slave. Hallelujah, you can live without finances, but you can never live without holiness. You need the hand of God upon you, and that curse becomes broken under the blood of the Lamb. And I declare it so over your lives today.
Amen.
Amen. So you do years of faith and come before the Lord's table. Rajaramanda. Old Testament, Exodus 12, let's get back to it.
with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs symbolizes your repentance. Are you with me? Manasandrathode varanam. With a change of mind, change of decision, a change of will. Kathavana nation will go. You come in with love. Bitter herbs. Change of mind. Change of attitude. തിരിച്ച് താമൻ കുർബാനയ്ക്ക് പോകുന്നവരെ വന്ന് കുർബാന തിരിച്ച് വായിക്കാന്നുള്ളത് വന്ന വന്നാക്കരുത്. അങ്ങനെ പള്ളിയിൽ പോയാൽ മതി. അല്ലേ ഇല്ല. പ്രൈസ് ഗോഡ്. ലോർഡ് ഗിവ് മീ കംപാഷൻ. ആമേൻ. ഹല്ലേലൂയാ. Coming with due reverence in worship. Amen. With bitter herbs. The next one. And they shall eat it. But then it says here on the 11th verse. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. One version says, gird up your loins. Remember that word? Which version is that? That's a verse, huh? Gird up your loins. There's a belt on your waist. Anybody in your Bible? That's which version? King James version has it. Gird up your loins. What does that mean? Gird up your loins. What does that mean? In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yours to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Gird up the loins of your mind. Then the mind of the Murkanamichu. Are you with me? Your mind. That's a New Testament. Your attitude should change. Every habit begins in your mind. Do you know that? That's why gird up the loins of your mind. Which means you can do it. So you don't say, Lord, gird up for me, Lord. You take a decision. My mind belongs to you, Lord. It's to be consecrated to you. I want it to be girded up. One of the ways that you can occupy your mind is by spending time in the Word of God. When you can't read it, listen to it. When you can't listen to it, read it. When you can't read it and listen to it, write it. When you can't write it, speak about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we had a say, you still here today? Amen. We had a say, which Smith Wigglesworth used to say. Huh? Read it through. Write it down. Bring it in. Speak it out. And pass it on. Say that with me. Read it through. Write it down. Pray it in. Speak it out. And pass it on. One more eye and leave it also. Hallelujah. One more time. Smith Wigglesworth, we thank you for this saying. Shall we do it together one more time? Hallelujah. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, speak it out, pass it on, live it. Amen. Praise God. Look at your neighbor, tap a couple of people and say, I'm going to do it. Amen.
That is Exodus 12.
When you come before the Lord's table, thus you shall eat it with your loins girded up, your sandals on your feet. What does that symbolize? Did you come in? Your sandals on your feet. Amen. Your sandals in the New Testament is the readiness to announce the gospel of peace. Remember that? And I've shared it before, but one more time let me share it. In Noah's ark, Noah first sent out a raven and then sent out a dove. You remember that? When the ark of the covenant, when Noah's ark landed on the mound, when the rain subsided and when the waters were going down, Noah opened the ark and sent out a raven. And then he sent out a dove. It symbolizes two kinds of believers in the church. One are the raven kind of believers, another is the dove kind of believers. The ravens, what did they do? The raven went out and did not come back. They didn't come back to the ark. It went and most probably must have fed on the filth of the world. The decaying bodies or something like that. Just have fed it there and stayed there. But the dove came back. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like it. The dove was making it back. His wings were getting tired. Hallelujah. And my Bible says in Genesis 8, it could hardly reach the ark. But when it came somewhere near the ark, Noah stretched out his hands and he received the other one. My brother, if you will come anywhere near this table, Jesus will step right there and take you in. But your heart should be like another dove to go forth for the gospel. Don't stay in the world. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. The last point. And your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. That's because you need to have a pilgrim's mind. Amen. That's why you need to eat it in a haste. But I want to share this one word: this staff in your hand. Say staff in your hand. Amen. Just lift your hands and pray in the Holy Spirit for some time, please. The staff in your hand. Amen. I like that word. Staff in your hand. See, in David's time, you find the Philistine army came on one mountain. The Israelites were on the other mountain. They were both on the hill. And the Bible says, one person from the Philistine army called Goliath stepped out. And he went down the hill, and he challenged. And said, is there anyone? Let me take you one on one. Not the armies fighting each other. One on one. Anyone here? Come. The people of Israel, baptized and anointed, said, praise unto God, speaking in other tongues, knowing the principles of Ephesians 6, stayed in their tents and said, anyone? Queen, I think you are the one anointed. John, what about you? They stayed there. Remember that? But this little boy David comes into that place. And he hears this. And he says, I will go and take upon this Goliath. Remember that? I will go and take upon this Goliath. But there's something very amazing he says there. When David came, see, the Bible says both the armies were on the hills and Goliath had gone down into the valley, the challenge. But when David came, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 7, if I'm right, the 42 verse, the Bible says that Goliath
came up. And you hear that?
When the Bible says that Goliath went down, how can it be so that Goliath came up? So it is after 40 days and 40 nights that David is coming. For 40 days he challenged. What I am telling you is this. There are some bondages that have been challenging you for some time. He took a staff. Hear me well. He took a staff and he took the sling and the Philistine stones. Hallelujah. Praise God. The staff is your authority to the very powers that have been coming up against you for a long time. When you come before this Lord's table, suddenly you recognize that authority that you have in Christ. There have been certain bondages that have been coming up against your life, challenging you day after night. But let me tell you, today when you celebrate the Lord's Passover, when you celebrate the Lord's table, let me tell you, hallelujah, have the staff in your hand to finish off the enemy that has been challenging you for a long time. Let that bondage never ever come back to you. Complete victory for you. But today is the day. Your confidence comes when you come before the Lord's table. My Jesus shed his blood for me. Hallelujah. I am no slave anymore. The demons are under me. Behold, I have given you authority and power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Realize that when you come before the Lord's table, that's why the enemy keeps you from this table. When you come before, let me tell you, you have your minds girded up. You have the roasted lamb to enjoy the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You have the readiness to announce the good news of peace. You're willing to go forth from this place and out to declare the gospel of the Lord. More than anything else, you have a staff in your hand. Hallelujah. The leaven out of your life. Oh my Jesus, I worship you. Shall we close our eyes in prayer today? I want to give you some time, a couple of minutes to stand before the presence of God. You want to kneel, you can kneel, you can stand if you want to stand up. But come before the Lord's presence today as we come before this table today. Hallelujah. Pray from your own hearts. Pray from your own lips. Oh, the mindset I can change, then God's hand will come upon you. Release your faith and come before this table. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Master.